Welcome to the Retail Insider video interview series. I'm your host, Craig Patterson, and we're joined here today with a special guest. This is Eric Sherman. He's now the head of national operations at First Capital REIT. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you very much. Great to chat with you today.
Now, we've known each other for a while. I haven't actually asked you this question before. How long have you been in the real estate world, and how did you get started in this?
Yeah, so I've been in the real estate world for just over a decade now. I've been with First Capital for 10 years. It was 10 years this past October. And I started as a summer student. I actually worked at RioCan for a couple summers while I was still in university and learned about the retail real estate industry, which is not something, at least at that time, that generally you learned about in school or learned about the opportunities in the industry. So I had a great opportunity, very fortunate to be able to experience it while still in school. And from there, I had a job at, you know, a small private, mostly industrial real estate company for about a year, but I knew that that wasn't ultimately where I wanted to go. And then I started at First Capital in October of 2013 as a leasing representative, and since then have taken on a number of different roles, portfolios, responsibilities, and as of this past August, took on this new role as head of national operations.
No, and well-deserved promotion. You did amazing work with the Yorkville assets for First Capital REIT. Let's talk a bit about that. I guess this is more of a historical discussion at this point, but there was a great tenant mix that was put into Yorkville Avenue over a period of time, like, you know, Chanel, Stone Island, Versace, Brunello. Tell us a bit about the mix and how that sort of was just conceptualized over the years to what it is today.
Yeah, for sure. So it's definitely been a really interesting evolution. It's been amazing to be a part of that evolution and to kind of watch things grow and develop into what they've become today and where they're going in the future. It started actually with our acquisition of what used to be Hazelton Lanes and the redevelopment process into what is now referred to as Yorkville Village, which is the enclosed shopping center right at Hazelton and Yorkville and Avenue Road, anchored by Whole Foods. And a big piece of that was Equinox coming in and taking over the Yorkville Club and relocating them up to the second floor. And then from there, kind of, you know, continuing to evolve with our mix of retail. And First Capital, historically, one of our strategies is to acquire adjacent properties in neighborhoods that we target. And so this was no different. When we look at what neighborhoods to invest in, we look at metrics like high average household income and high population density, proximity to transit. And it's rare that you get these demographics in the same neighborhood. Usually where there's high population density, there's not a really generally a high income. Where there's high income, there's not necessarily, you know, a lot of density. And Bloor Yorkville is such a unique neighborhood within our country where the metrics in both are incredibly strong. So it really kind of set the stage for the initial strategy to invest in the neighborhood. And so after we kind of got our feet wet with Yorkville Village, or what used to be Hazelton Lanes, we started acquiring along Yorkville Avenue. And Yorkville Avenue was always this beautiful kind of European style, pedestrian friendly street that was home to a lot of amazing retailers, but it didn't quite have that ultra luxury or international brand presence. And I think timing worked out really well, both in terms of when First Capital decided to start moving into this neighborhood and also what was happening across the industry globally, which is that there started to be this movement away from the conventional high street, which in this case would be Bloor. And a lot of the brands had a desire to, you know, create more of a, you know, a unique presence where you take into account architecturally interesting buildings, heritage buildings. You tie into this idea of you know, the European pedestrian friendly laneway connecting streets. And so for us, the first piece of that was Chanel. And they're located in the former, it's a heritage building. It's a gorgeous building. They initially called it Maison Chanel, the first of its kind in North America. And that's in the old Mount Sinai Hospital. I don't know if I mentioned that, but that was Chanel has their Canadian headquarters on Bloor, so they're very familiar with the area, and they recognized quickly the transition that was sort of happening globally, and they saw what was happening on Bloor, and they saw what was happening in Yorkville, and it made it quite an easy decision for them. It was such a beautiful, brand friendly opportunity for them. So that really kicked things off. And once Chanel, was announced, they're really this leader in the industry, the powerhouse luxury brand. Christian Louboutin opened across the street, not in our property. We were undertaking a redevelopment of two adjacent buildings right beside Chanel. And Brunello Cucinelli jumped on board, Versace, Stone Island. We also played on this idea of integrated luxury, where it's not just enough to have one big glazed storefront or multiple glazed, brands where you go in and spend a lot of money. You need to have that experience. And so, you have the Four Seasons on one side, you got the Hazelton Hotel on the other side, you have a number of different restaurants, 102 to 108 Yorkville, which is Brunello, Versace, Stone Island. We have Majesty's Pleasure on the third floor, which is a high-end nail salon, cocktail bar, beauty space. And then in the lower level, we have Aburi Hanna, which is one of the first recipients of the Michelin Star Award in Toronto. And so that I look at that building as kind of a microcosm of what we tried to do in the neighborhood, which is integrate that luxury with personal service, food and beverage, and experience. And the dominoes kind of fell from there. So that's sort of how it got started. But I'm sure we'll talk a lot about some of the other brands that entered the market soon after.
That's right. That's right. Now, and First Capital, I was actually looking at some plans out of my own curiosity unrelated to this recording in Calgary with Mount Royal. I know there was Mount Royal Village when I was a kid. This is actually a shopping center a little bit like Hazelton Lanes. In the 80s, it had a store called Ira Berg, which was from Toronto. The Berg family ran it in the 90s. I remember Polo Ralph Lauren was in there along with Club Monaco, anyways. But now, First Capital owns much of the neighborhood around 17th Avenue. There's a park in front of the actual shopping center. Now there's an Urban Fare grocery store, a Canadian Tire, a great bridal store in this heritage building. It's really neat just to see how it's almost like First Capital has created a bit of an outdoor shopping center situation by acquiring existing buildings and create, but having an authentic neighborhood. So it's not, a suburban shopping mall. This is kind of a downtown high density area, but it's also interesting and has great retailers and other businesses.
Yeah, 100%. And I think this kind of plays into the strategy of, let's say 5 to 10 years ago, which was identifying these neighborhoods that had really good demographics in the core markets of the country, and to take a really purposeful approach to curating the retail mix within these neighborhoods. And so not every neighborhood's going to look like Yorkville. I mean, a key example of that would be Liberty Village, where our head office is. We own a large amount of the retail. We're continuing to acquire and develop more here. And so, the recipe might be the same, but the ingredients might be different, right? So the recipe of where we like to invest and how we look at retail, how we think about it, is the same, but Chanel might be in Yorkville, might be West Elm in Liberty Village. I think when it comes down to it, really the core of First Capital is the grocery store anchored neighborhood shopping center. And you see that even in Yorkville, right? So you have shopping for everyday life. You have the grocery anchor, you have the pharmacy, you have the liquor, you have the fitness. It's just in Yorkville, it's elevated. So instead of your regular grocery store, it's Whole Foods. Instead of your regular fitness, it's Equinox. You kind of take it to the next level. Liberty Village too, you have some really great mix of urban retail, but when it comes down to it, we have a Longo's here, we have a Metro here. There's some of the specs of the bread and butter of what really this company is built off of, that are definitely consistent across the board. And I think that's something that we really take seriously, and what has been one of the major points of success for First Capital is to stick to that that bread and butter, that grocery, pharmacy, liquor, recipe, and then you sprinkle in the ingredients depending on the market that you're in.
Like the Brewery District in Edmonton, I think would be, which is just outside the downtown core and Oliver. It's a grocery anchored center. It's got a bit of a unique architecture, but it's got stores like Flower Raven.
Yes, exactly. Brewery District is an amazing project in Edmonton. We have our Edmonton office there. I was recently there a few months ago to visit the team. Amazing office. And yeah, exactly. It's a similar type of let's say recipe if we're keeping the analogy going. But yeah, it's how do we, find the best operators in the markets that we are in? How do we identify them? This is something that our leasing team and our real estate services team, as we now call it, which incorporates operations and leasing. So property management, operations, and leasing is now under the umbrella of real estate services. How do we identify this? And to the point earlier, sometimes that might be a national brand, but a lot of times we have to take a lot of care in recognizing the local operators as well. You mentioned, the Bridal store in Calgary. There's a lot of examples in Yorkville, a lot of examples across the board where you mix in these, quote unquote, ma and pa shops, but they're so important to the fabric of the neighborhood. We really try to engage with our communities. A lot of our team members sit on the BIA committees for various neighborhoods that we're in. We have a very big art program. Probably the biggest thing that First Capital has undertaken over the past number of years is the FCR Thriving Neighborhoods Foundation, which is our charity foundation, and integrating with different organizations that are embedded within the communities that we exist in, to really understand what the community wants, needs, and how we can support.
Interesting, interesting. Let's talk about One Bloor Street East. This is another project in Toronto. I think First Capital actually acquired it from Great Gulf. The commercial podium specifically is what we're talking about here. In I think it was 2018, Nordstrom Rack had opened about a 38, 39,000 square foot store over two levels in the podium. There had been for a while a Mark McEwen grocery store. Chick-fil-A is still in the building, but can we talk a little bit about what's going to happen with the podium at One Bloor Street East?
Yeah, for sure. So, very, very exciting project to talk about. This has been, I would say years in the making in terms of how to bring this corner properly to life. It's the corner of Yonge and Bloor. It is attached to the busiest subway station in the country. Vehicular traffic, pedestrian traffic sits at the base of what is currently the tallest condominium tower in the country. And so it has all of the pieces to be, what we imagined it to be, which is, a world-class retail spot as well. But it did have to go through a bit of an evolution. We had to overcome a couple of challenges, which is the fact that it's east of Yonge. And historically, Yonge Street became sort of this barrier between the retail run that starts at Avenue Road and comes all the way across. The fact that it was the first corner that was really developed there. You have now the one being constructed as we speak on the other corner, the southwest corner. You have the northeast corner, sorry, the northwest corner, which is Lululemon. Northeast corner is going through some changes. So we had this big building, beautiful retail space that was almost ahead of its time a little bit. So we've been working really hard. There's been some iterations of retailers that have worked their way through, but I could not be more excited to share, what we've done since and how we've taken what could have been seen as a major challenge in Nordstrom vacating our market and spun it around into, an amazing news story, not just for us and for that property, but for the industry in general and for Bloor Street in general. To replace McEwen, we did a deal with the Ballroom, which is a very well-known bowling and entertainment facility that's operated for close to 15 years in downtown Toronto. And they, we took a leap with them in 18,000 feet of mostly subterranean space. They're going to be delivering an absolutely spectacular concept, entertainment, bowling, food and beverage programming, taking, their existing location downtown and taking it to another level. And I think that the neighborhood is sorely missing entertainment and some activity to do. It's not just about going to eat food anymore or going to buy something expensive. Like, what is there to do? And there's a lot of office there, a lot of office coming back, a lot of corporate event opportunity. So that's taking a major space there. You jump to the Nordstrom space. That was a surprise to everybody. And they closed, I believe, in May, or they announced that they were closing sometime in May. And so very quickly, we fielded inquiries, we went out to the market, we tried to marry, economic requirements with ability to move and speed. And so we decided the best opportunity for us would be to split the space. So Nordstrom was 10,000 feet on the ground floor and 30,000 feet on the second floor. So we've divided the ground floor into about 7 or 8,000 square feet, which is going to be the new flagship location for Scotiabank, who will be relocating out of their existing location on Bloor Street into this spectacular hard corner where they can live for a very long time. And then we've done, which you and Retail Insider announced and broke the news not too long ago. We've done a deal with Altea Active for a new concept they're creating called Avant. They're going to have a ground floor entrance off of Bloor, and then 30,000 square feet of super high-end fitness, wellness, social club experience that will, rival the top wellness, fitness, social clubs in the country. But I think based on what I'm seeing in their plans, it's going to take it to another level. And then you go further east, and we have some retail space there as well, which has seen a little bit of churn, but excited to announce that we've completed a flagship deal with Nike, who will be opening a major location with us over two levels, and a Mango flagship as well. So between Nike, Mango, Altea, Scotiabank, Ballroom, you have Chick-fil-A. We're fully leased there, and it's not just fully leased, but it's fully leased with what we believe are some of the the best operators in the world, both locally. In one case, or in a couple of cases with the Ballroom and Altea, and internationally, you look at Nike and Mango. So you create this really interesting merchandising mix on the hard corner, and I think we've set ourselves up for long-term success at this site. And it did take a couple of years to get there, but I'm happy it did, because the puzzle pieces, I think, came together at the right time with the right groups, and we're excited to see them all open in the next year or so.
And which tenant is further east? Is it Nike or Mango on Bloor?
It will be Nike. So Nike will be further east, but Nike is going to be, substantially larger, and have a much more significant presence on the ground and second floor. But there was formerly a Tokyo Smoke for a brief moment in time. So Mango will be taking the majority of that, what used to be that Tokyo Smoke space.
Terrific. This is an exciting development. I can't wait to see what's happening, as well as the general Yonge and Bloor intersection. Something will be happening at the southwest corner. There was going to be an Apple store there. We don't know what's going to happen now. There's been a bit real shake up in the media. It wasn't even us that was reporting on it, but really fascinating stuff in Toronto. Let's talk. I don't want to keep you here all day, but let's just talk about general trends that you're seeing in your new role at First Capital as head of national operations. Are you seeing strong retail leasing around the country? Or let's just talk about generally what we're seeing in leasing as we head into the ICSC season here for Whistler.
For sure. So, definitely leasing is really strong right now. Our occupancy across the board is up near, the highest levels that they've been, especially coming out of the pandemic. But we always were able to maintain really strong occupancy even through that period. Lots of activity, lots of groups that are interested in doing deals. I'm sure you'll see that at the ICSC conference. There was a period of time where people were a little more reluctant, and there's still a little bit of, some looming, I guess looming, I don't know, in inability to tell the future, I guess. But so people are maybe a little bit wary, but overall, there are groups that are super active, and there's a lot of excitement and a lot of optimism, even within the economic environment that we're in. I would say in my new role, which is focused more on operations and property management, which is something that I was doing a lot of in Yorkville already. I oversaw our property management operations team in Yorkville within that portfolio. Leasing gets the nod a lot of times, but really I want to give a shout out to all of my operations people across the industry. Property management is an incredibly important piece of our industry. It's a fundamental piece of our industry. It's a thankless job in a lot of cases, but especially now, I will say, when we look at our industry, there's not as much activity in acquisitions and development. So development is slowing down. New development, I'll say, especially in the retail world, is very difficult to make a new retail development work in a lot of senses. So there has to be a much larger focus on optimizing our operations, taking our existing portfolios, existing properties, working with leasing, working with our tenants, working with our operations and property management teams, and optimizing our existing portfolio. And that's why, this role for me is super exciting, is because it gives me the opportunity to focus on that. And that's where we're spending a lot of time right now, is how do we focus our efforts on improving our operations across the board? And there's a big opportunity to do that. So that's where I think a lot of real estate companies, a lot of REITs, a lot of retail real estate developers are spending time, or should be spending time, is, how do you look at what you already have and say, how do we make this even better? That's what's going to attract new tenants. That's what's going to, improve NOI, improve occupancy, all of these metrics that we look so closely at. And so for me, that's my focus right now, is existing portfolio operations, working with our incredible property management team, and taking it to the next level.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. This is Eric Sherman. He's the head of national operations at First Capital REIT. Thank you, Eric.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Craig. And we'll definitely chat soon.
And I'm Craig Patterson. I'm the founder and publisher of Retail Insider, as well as the host of the Retail Insider video interview series. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, whether or not you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening to this on one of our podcast channels. Take care and bye for now.